Hey, hello. Welcome to I'm Watching a Movie. I'm Alex Clanko. I'm re-recording this intro because I did an oops and didn't have mics working properly. The movie we're doing is Cats, the thing that me and Vite and a bunch of us went and saw and were haunted by. We record about 5 minutes of an intro, and then Alice Moran shows up and we record the rest with her, and that part's fine. But the five-minute intro is buzzy and annoying, and I'm just going to catch up to speed real quick. What we talk about is cats being horrible and not horny enough, and also that the reason it was so successful on Broadway was that you could bring a lot of international businessmen to it, and they wouldn't quite know the difference. Like, they could follow it, even though there's no, because there's no real plot to it. It's kind of dumb. So that's kind of the catch-up. Oh, and we just started talking about Taylor Swift and how, for some reason, the CGI in her scene was even worse than the rest of the movie. Anyway, please enjoy us being joined by Alice Moran 5 minutes in, and then I fix the mics. Hello, bye, welcome. What? Hello, we're back.
Hi, we're back. We're back, and we have our special guest who also joined us yesterday at the Scotiabank Theater.
I'm a different woman.
Watching Cats, we had Alice Moran.
Hello.
It was fucking fucked up, man.
It was like there's no plot to Cats, so it's almost like a toddler telling you a story, but then with like high quality Instagram filters on it.
Oh, the highest. We were just talking about the Taylor Swift
part.
But
it still like pops in and out of not being quite perfect.
For me, Taylor Swift's part was the most glaring of when she turned her head. It's like she went out of frame.
Yeah.
Why do we know why he chose to do visual effects as opposed to just makeup and costume?
I think to try to make them more cat-like, but it really failed.
That's the magic of Cats the musical, is that it's truly impressive how these dancers move and it looks like cats.
But that was the whole thing, is like, it's the reason that we don't have musicals that much these days, because I think people have figured out they don't really translate to not live. Like, there was some great dancing in there. If you had seen that live, you'd be like, that was the coolest fucking shit I'd ever seen.
That's what I was
but
saying,
seeing
yeah.
it is but like...
This is my whole thing, is like, the cartooning of their bodies made it look like a cartoon was doing it anyways, so it didn't matter.
There's a shot where it's like two cats like b-boy dance or something, like just like you see like they're full.
Those were the Beyonce twins.
Oh, okay.
And they were wearing sneakers. They were the only ones wearing shoes.
Because the rest of that movie is a weird foot fetish movie.
Yes.
That I was a little on board
Jason
for.
Jason Derulo, I really
Jason
thought
Derulo
he was
almost sucked toe.
Like, face fuck that toe.
Yeah. Anyway, but you see them like you see like the two like b-boy twins. Dancing, and it looks like a GIF trying to sell me ringtones in the mid 2000s, like just a dancing baby being like, you can win this GIF if you text 503 like 1 a.m. I'm watching.
Those Beyonce twins have had a real shit year in theater. I mean, in movies, because they also were in the new Men in Black, where they did the exact thing. They danced.
Were they also in the Playmobil movie?
Did that come out?
That came out. I think it's the biggest bomb of all time, because it was like $80 million, and I think it made like $200,000.
I did not even kind of see a preview for that until we were sitting in Cats yesterday, and they did like a weird, like, Daniel Radcliffe plays a voice in Playmobil.
The trailer, there's two trailers, but one of the trailers truly makes it seem like it's 100% the same plot as the Lego movie, except worse in every way, shape, and form.
It'd be funny if it was 100% the same plot as Cats, where it's just Playmobil's introducing themselves, and like one of them's Railway, like that's his thing.
I'm gonna pull up.
That'll make more sense of Playmobil when it's like a conductor is introducing himself.
It would
as
make more
Railway
sense
Playmobil.
In the Playmobil world than it would make
in
like
Cats, where it's like, I tap dance, my thing is train, help.
I'm gonna try, hold on, I'm gonna find Ned Petrie. He did the most succinct explanation of the plot of Cats I've ever heard, and it's like a burn, but it also was like, you should win an award for this, because talk amongst yourselves. I have to find it. Keep going.
My favorite part of Cats is that, like, for a movie that's, even though other reviewers were saying it's horny, it's surprisingly unhorny.
Yeah.
Unless it awoke something in a lot of reviewers. A lot of viewers learned that, like, a foot fetish or a furry fetish about themselves in the course of that movie. With the exception
like,
of
Idris
two
Elba,
scenes,
though, was horny.
Exception
okay,
two,
so we discussed this.
Yeah.
So our problem with Cats specifically, too, is that it wasn't campy or gay.
Yeah.
It was very heterosexual.
Yeah, it was, because Mr. Mistopheles was
straight. He was straight washed.
Yeah.
So straight. And but like to the detriment of like they made it instead of making him like fun and gay, they made him like straight and like
beta.
A beta fucking cuck. But so like Mamma Mia is so gay and joyful, even though it's actually not made
musicals
by gay people.
Can't be straight. Like that's the problem with any musical whenever they're like, and it's a straight ass time, you're like, boo,
but do
yourself.
You think anyone in Cats was having fun? It, except for maybe Taylor Swift.
Nah, no, I think one Idris, looked, Idris, Elba, Idris Elba. Yeah. Idris Elba was chewing the scenery. I think Ian McKellen was also
Ian
having
McKellen's
fun
gonna
in,
be
a,
having
in
a
his
great
own
time.
Way.
Yes. And everyone seemed to enjoy being in scenes with Ian McKellen.
And
like
Judi Dench seemed to love her goddamn life. Being
yeah,
like, it's
that's
me,
true.
Old Deuteronomy, having a slow ass walk.
So, you
half
know.
That movie is watching Old Deuteronomy walk as you see Judi Dench's full un-CGI'd hands
yes.
barely move.
And apparently they fixed that.
They fixed that, but we saw it today, that day, specifically so we would catch the last day where it's still the shitty CGI.
Oh, we saw the shitty CGI.
On purpose.
Because I was in that theater going, there's just no way that this is better. But in the musical, Cats, Deuteronomy comes in like maybe one song before intermission and then has to fucking sit on stage for the entire intermission still, and people go on stage and take pictures with him. And it's a him. Sorry, they made her a woman.
Yeah.
Isn't that awful?
I mean, theater as an,
actor,
as an no. art, guys. Yeah. What is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but the straight washing of it was very weird. Because, yeah, there is no musical that is made better by making it straighter. But every single musical is made better. Like, even if they made a super gay Les Mis.
Yeah.
The... Do you hear the yeah. people sing? Would be such so
but
fucking.
But even
fun.
Les Mis,
empty chairs
Mis,
and empty table
like,
would be better.
Like
empty chairs and empty
tables
was adopted by the gay community when AIDS was happening.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like Les Mis to me is like. Like, Les Mis is more about like systems than people, so it's hard to be like this is a gay musical. But I think there's a lot of stuff in there that's like. Like this, the movie centers around a man chasing a man, which is like you could easily put that
that's
on.
That's true. It's quite homoerotic.
Yeah, yeah.
Javert is just like he wants it so
like,
bad.
If the lighthouse can be read as gay, Les Mis can be read as
I
gay.
I feel like Les Mis would be so much better gay.
Les Mis is kind of gay.
It's kind of gay, but I feel like
it's about system. It's not about
cats,
people.
Like whenever
so it's
you
hard
take those
like,
plays and you like put them in that context, they get so fucking good.
Cats didn't need to be gay. It needed to be sexually fluid. Like, everyone should want to fuck everybody.
Yeah, because that's what cats are
and
like.
And who are these reviewers who said it was horny?
I don't know. All of them did. I want it. You know, it's. I think there's so little actual, like, sexual content in big budget movies.
That
if you watch an Avengers movie, it's like that there's nothing more chaste than the Avengers.
And then
to have like Jason Derulo almost suck toe and we're like okay, like, that's the only hoary part of the movie. This movie's not horny.
I had an acting teacher a couple years ago tell me that like especially in Canada, nobody ever makes the choice to be so fucking horny about things, and every time you do it, you'll get cast because it's like and every time, and I have done it very few times because I'm so afraid of being like, I know this isn't meant to be read as horny, but I'm gonna try it horny.
So
I have booked things horny.
Once I accidentally made an audition for the Odd Squad horny, and it was a mistake.
Fuck.
I played two characters, and one was the evil character, and they were like, you're making your evil character sexy. And I was like, oh my God. Oh God. She's like, it might just be you. And I was like,
Were you like, ooh, who's going to count to five? Is it you? Ooh, ooh, can you count? Oh, is it too hard for you to count?
Let me help you count.
God. I talked in a lower voice for the evil one.
Oh.
Your voice is already pretty low.
Yeah, so I went down here like this. I can't remember
This is a weird specific of when we're mixing, when I'm mixing our podcasts. I just mix us, like I mix you at man's voice, I mix my voice at like bass, and I mix our guest at a normal thing.
You mix me at man's voice?
Well, there's like a de-esser and a couple other minor things.
You have broken my heart.
It sounded better.
That's so funny.
To be fair, like when I'm thinking about it, I always try to pitch my voice down because it naturally goes into this like adopted comedy voice I started doing in high school. It's like my voice has been forever ruined by the fact that I know that if I do kind of teen girl squad, it's funnier.
Well, see,
and that's what I sound like when I'm telling jokes.
My voice is damaged. I got a callus on my vocal cords when I was like 11 years old because I screamed too much. So it's just lower by nature. But that's so funny. I guess it is low. In my head, it doesn't sound low.
It's not.
It's good. You got a good sexy raspiness.
It's not even that low. It's just like there's if you have like a audio mixing stuff, there's like things like de-essers and they have like presets of being like male voice, female voice. And it's like kind of like the average of most people. And then you hit the average male voice of like just like where your frequency is.
Anyways, back to Cats.
It wasn't horny, guys.
It really wasn't.
There were some parts that were like, that was horny. But the movie wasn't like, it's not the fuckiest time I've had watching
I want Cats to do well. No. And I want Cats to do well. And here's why. So Andrew Lloyd Webber has another musical called Starlight Express. The most dangerous musical that's ever been on Broadway.
It's not getting made.
It is horny trains. If Cats is horny Cats, Starlight Express is horny trains. The entire musical is on rollerblades. It's considered the most dangerous musical of all time because leads kept breaking their legs.
Oh my God.
The entire musical is trains race. Yes, race. To try and win over other female trains to fuck. And you might ask yourself, how do trains race? They're all on the same track. That is unanswered. There is the caboose. The caboose is a serial killer who kills trains through the duration of the play. Andrew Lloyd Webber wanted to make this musical before Cats. Got Cats made. It was a smash hit. Producers were like, fuck it. Like, what else you got? What do you want to do, Andrew Lloyd Webber? And he was like, fuck trains. There was at one point in like the mid-80s, late-80s, there was three versions of Starlight Express going concurrently with three separate versions of the script. Two in New York and one in London's West End.
This is the question I always have. Like when like you always think like if you made something and it got like famous, then you'd be able to do the thing.
Yeah.
You have to wonder like, man, what would people's thing be if they got enough cred? Like if we gave James Corden any more leash... Which, by the way, the fact that they kept all of his and Rebel Wilson's improvs, even though they sucked in that movie, was bonkers.
Oh my God, Rebel Wilson's and his improvs were the worst things I've ever heard.
I did like, and it's because it's one of those things where it's like they fucked up every song in that, so it's just like a musical soup. Like there's no like melody to hold on to. There's barely a rhythm to hold on to. And then, but like it's the same with like the musical, same with the improv, same with like any of the dialogue. And so that when James Corden like yells at the guy being like, look at me, look at you. How do you think this like lever thing is going to work? I'm twice the size of you. I'm like, oh, an actual joke. It's not great, but like at the in any port in a storm at that point.
Yeah, I mean, so Andrew Lloyd Webber has an interesting trajectory. First of all, he's not gay. He marries women, but he's very clearly closeted. Hmm. It doesn't make any sense because I feel like if you're in Broadway, why not just be gay? But if he's not gay, he has something else that he's hiding because he looks like a man with a secret.
That he wants to fuck trains and cats.
Yeah, he wants to fuck objects might be the thing. But so his whole thing was he was a bit of a failure. Like he was like bad at doing stuff and no one really respected him. And the famous Broadway director Hal Prince fucking hated him. And he was obsessed with getting his... approval, and so that's what drove him to write Jesus Christ Superstar.
Okay.
So he wrote Jesus Christ Superstar. It was his one. That is his one jewel, amazingly written musical.
Yeah.
And he played each song for Hal Prince on his voicemail or his answering machine at the time. And then he won Hal Prince over. Hal Prince directed Jesus Christ Superstar. He then followed that up with Phantom of the Opera. He was like a huge success after that. But he is known for stealing music. Stealing melodies and being like the most confusing, difficult human being to work with. But it's like, I think he just did Jesus Christ Superstar and like exasperated all of his creativity. Cause I'm sorry, Phantom sucks. Have you seen Phantom? Phantom sucks.
I'm surprised incels aren't super into Phantom of the Opera.
Cause he gets. Kind of gets the girl.
I guess he does get laid, so incels hate that.
He traps the girl. But the girl is into him, just not sexually. So incels must hate it.
Yeah, it's a friend zone. It's a classic tale of the friend zone.
Yeah, it's very stupid. But he also doesn't abide New York like Broadway laws. Like everybody gets Monday nights off unless you're in an Andrew Lloyd Webber musical, and then you work 7 days a week.
Fucking kill yourself.
Yeah, like I saw Cats on a Monday night when I was in New York.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. It's some tough shit. And then he also did School of Rock, so Justin Collette met him.
Yeah, yeah. when I went and saw, if you're listening, a friend of ours was a third lead at this point, at School of Rock, playing the lead, and he like showed me around the theater when I went and saw it, and he was like, oh, up there, and you like look up, and there's just like a tiny little like closet room, like up like three stairs, like up top of the theater, and there's just a piano there, and he's like, that's where Andrew Lloyd Webber writes music when he's here. It's like, what do you mean?
In the theater?
It's like, yeah, like during the day, if he's here, he needs special pianos. So he's like, anywhere he is, he has the special piano there and will go up and like pound away on it for a bit and then come back. I'm like, that's the dumbest thing. He's like, oh, and he wears a cape. And then we just moved on.
No, he doesn't. That's a joke.
I don't know.
That's a joke.
Because he's like, oh, he wears a cape. Anyway, this is my, like, Green Room, and they showed me, like, shit. And I was like,
because he is the Phantom. He is the Phantom of the opera.
So weird. Musical theater, I feel like, is like the path of my career that I only so briefly dip my toe in.
Oh, me too.
That I'm like, I wonder what the version of my life where I'm like, no, this is what I want. And I've gone full musical theater.
I wish I had. I never would have had the range, but I think I could have been trained to be like a character-y musical theater person.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think I would be living my best life right now.
True life. I really, truly believe that if the Mean Girls musical comes to Toronto, that I can get cast as
Alice,
Cameron.
I saw it. It's so fucking bad.
I don't mind
it. You don't?
I haven't
you
seen
saw it.
I've heard only heard it.
Oh, it's bad. And the singing is amazing, though. Like, it's hard stuff, but it's like every song sounds exactly the same. It's, oof, me and Adele saw that. We'll do another.
Unlike Cats.
Yeah. Well, Cats, the only song that I really like in Cats, I mean, besides Memories, which is completely unearned. Like, that's what makes me so angry is that out of nowhere this cat sings about memories, but it's like, what are you singing about that you used to be pretty?
Well, okay, in the movie, all the songs and are recontextualized for like no reason into like stuff that doesn't make any sense.
I think that like, they were like, maybe this will seem more like a plot, but it felt less like a plot, honestly.
The fact that they like threw the white cat into the street to be like, she's a forgotten cat, that doesn't happen.
Oh yeah, but also I'm like, wait, so humans exist?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're 80 feet tall and cats are either 6 feet tall or 3 centimeters.
Well, at one point she has the ring on her bracelet. And then like later she's like holding a knife and fork pretty much regular styles.
but the table
is huge. And then when they're tap dancing on the train tracks, I was like, they're the size of, I don't know, ants?
Like or like larger rats maybe.
Also, the fact that the rats were all played by children was truly upsetting.
Yeah.
It's a world where mice are children and cats want to eat them.
I did like that it kind of opens with a play within a play making fun of cats where it's like Rebel Wilson reveals like she's made a tiny mouse play.
Yes.
Called
yes.
Mice. And she's like saying nonsense words as the mice sing nonsense words. I'm like, that's kind of fun. Like, I know it's not self-aware.
Rebel Wilson's part was obscene. When she
Rebel
unzips
Wilson
her skin.
She never be allowed in a musical again. Because that
can't
song was,
sing.
I was like, I can't believe they didn't auto-tune you. I can't believe you did anything.
Oh,
and got
you want to talk? You want to talk that when Taylor Swift whiffs that note and our whole row went, whoa.
No, the whole thing is it felt like every singer was holding back. Even Jennifer Hudson.
Who had so
Jennifer
much
Hudson
nuts.
In memory. Her face is so not proportional to the cat's face. Yeah. It's like, it's this important song. And you're like, what am I? Because I remember in the trailer when they showed you that, I was like, they're going to fix that, right? Like, the fact that Sonic was like, oh, we have to do better for this kids movie that no one ultimately cares about.
Yeah. It's wild because, like, also that song, Memories, is supposed to be stoic. And she is, like, boo-hooing, sobbing her mind
her
out.
Her nose out. Let's be clear. Tears came out exclusively.
So much snot acting. It's a very reminiscent of Viola Davis in Fences, if anyone's seen it. Yeah.
Fences, she's dangling snot off her face.
It's horrific. That part is horrific. I don't know why I keep checking my phone. Nothing. No one's ever going to text me back. it's Cats is the Tom Hooper shouldn't be allowed to direct anymore.
What are his
other movies? You want to go through? Oh. Yeah. I've had a problem with Tom Hooper since 2010.
Okay, let's hear it.
King's Speech.
I think Teen Speech.
I think is I remember watching Teen Speech and being like, was this done by a blind man?
Yeah.
Because the whole movie just has like odd shots, negative space for no reason. Like there'll be a thing of like it doesn't make sense, doesn't add together, and the movie's like a feel good like King gets over his speech impediment thing,
yeah.
And like the whole direction of it gets in the way of this like nothing movie. Like it's like it's
completely forgettable, and that Colin Firth should not have won an Academy Award.
It shouldn't have even been in the running. It's on the par of like Charlie Wilson's War of like forgettable nothing. And then like it's like all over the Academy Awards, directed by the whole time I'm like, what the fuck? Though you watch it, it doesn't make any consistent visual sense through the movie in a way that's like first year film school, but he's like the rich kid did it, so he had a huge budget.
I was gonna say, my hot take on Tom Hooper is, I hate to be disrespectful to our own Canadians, but it's like a Canadian TV director has been allowed. It's like if Jerry Chikaridi, that's right, I'm calling you out because you've ruined good Canadian television movies. My uncle's friend, Jerry Chikaridi. I'm sorry, like these are people that understand how to hold, or not even hold a camera, but stand behind a camera, and they definitely have a vision, but it's wrong.
And so, then he goes from that. The next movie he does is the Les Mis adaptation,
which he destroyed.
My favorite musical, Les Mis, love it so much. And the whole thing of Les Mis is like if you think of like the play, watching the play, which is like, to call it a play is even strong. It's mostly just people coming out and singing at you, and then a huge chorus joins, and you're like, yes, there is a revolution coming. And that is like the majority of the movie.
And it's
like,
beautiful.
It's like, yeah, oh, you are sad. Revolution will fit. It's hard in times of revolution. Like, that is like half the musical. And then the whole movie is shot like single shots really close up, so that anytime there's like one person on stage, you see a person alone, empty on stage, singing, and you're like bawling your eyes out because of like how lonely that feels.
He ruined that. Yeah, and he did not cast a single proper singer in that movie.
Oh, God.
Pitched Hugh Jackman way too high. Made a gimmick of them having to sing live on set, which is stupid because you have to do a million takes.
Yeah.
Okay, so important sidebar. So when Les Mis came out in France, it wasn't well received. Like, they did not like it. And then it was only when it like got big in the rest of the world that France was like, Les Mis is important. So then when they adopted the musical, the Victor Hugo novel, Notre Dame de Paris, it was like the biggest musical, and it's so goddamn beautiful. It's like honestly so beautiful. But then because it was so big and they like, and France already liked it, they didn't carefully do a good job like translating it to English. I think it debuted in Las Vegas. It is like a word for word, like Google translated it. Like, so all the poetry is like totally gone.
Yes, yeah.
And it is, like, it hurts me to listen to the English version of this musical because it is, I think, my favorite musical.
Well, this is what's so weird about the Les Mis thing. The arrangements in the movie are nice. And the coloring is nice.
There's some good stuff in there, yeah.
Yeah, like, the cinematography is, I think, good.
Cinematography is in skits in its own way in a lot of senses. Of like, that it does do, the majority of that movie is seeing an extreme close-up shot. Like, I think, I would be curious if he's like someone do a data, like no one would, only I would, a data analytics thing of like what percent of that movie is an extreme close-up shot.
Oh, yeah. And also, he directed Jennifer Hudson to sing Memories the way he directed Anne Hathaway to sing I Dreamed a Dream.
Yeah, which is very different songs.
Very different
he
songs.
He just wanted another Oscar.
Well, she ain't getting it. She ain't getting. Okay, so we go from King's Speech, bullshit. Les Mis, I can't believe it. It's so beautiful and it was terrible. And also, oh my God, Russell Crowe, we won't even touch that. Okay, what's next for Tom Hooper?
Cats.
Those are his three?
Yeah.
Holy fuck. He keeps getting bigger and bigger budgets.
I might be missing one. Let me check.
Because Cats, I just read today, Variety said it's going to lose $171 million for how much it costs and for sending it out and spending on advertising and everything.
It was when I saw the trailer for it this summer, I was like, this is truly the most baffling thing I've ever seen. Like, I can't imagine this being good.
Oh, you're going to hate What's in Between.
Mm.
Danish Girl.
Oh, I never saw that.
I have so many conflicting feelings with The Danish Girl, because on the one hand, I'm like, oh, this is like this is an important story about like the history of transgendered rights.
But on the other hand, it is mishandled in a way.
Yeah.
That, is, that man, who does he know? Like, where does he come from, Tom Hooper?
Oh.
No, yeah. Where does he come from? Because
he has to be like one of those pedophile ring guys.
Because how does he go? All the movies so far have been nominated. I think he got nominated for an Oscar for almost all of them.
Yeah, everything we said was
Cats
like...
Cats will probably be the first one he doesn't get nominated
for. Yeah, there's no
Unless
way.
It wins Best Picture, in which case, kill yourself.
I was going to say, because I called this, and then I was like, watching the movie, I was like, you know what's got a shot? Is sound mixing of like, that movie was mixed. The movie was mixed. That you're making some, you're both making some stank face.
I mean, because the music is so boring. Like, that's its greatest sin. It was so boring.
Because you're sitting there and like stuff's bouncing around the room and like it uses that 5.1 surround sound.
And also, like, the sets and shit could have been so beautiful.
You know what it was like to me? It was like somebody saw Moulin Rouge and was like, I want to take the part of Moulin Rouge that I like. And then someone also saw Chicago and they're like, ooh, I love all the interesting ways that Chicago adapted like a stagey musical into a very dynamic and interesting
way better
film.
Than the musical itself.
100%. So much better because they cut all the garbage out.
Yeah.
And so it's like someone like watched those two things and was like, I'm this good. And then
the thing is that I think Andrew Lloyd Webber honestly thinks that he was playing with genre in that movie. I think he thought every song sounded different, where every song sounded exactly
synthy.
And the only song that sounded that I kind of like is Mr. Mistopheles, and that sounds the most like Jesus Christ Superstar.
Also, they like butcher like so.
Oh, I can't even.
I sat between. Hard. Mollison, my girlfriend, who went to musical theater high school, had been in Cats twice, and Chris Cosentino.
What? Who she is in Cats?
She was just a dancing cat. She wasn't
all right.
And then Chris Cosentino, one of my best friends, and he played in the band in a version of Cats that was played, and so they know Cats inside and out.
Oh my god!
And the whole movie, the two of them are like, "The fuck is happening?" And like,
Tom Hooper's interpretation baffles, and Mr. Mistopheles being a scared cuck. Oh. I will say it again.
Yeah,
was because with me, when you get to the Mistopheles part, I was so bored in the musical watching it live that when that comes, it's like. Oh, this guy's the best. And it won me over. And I remember doing Facebook Live with Anne when watching it.
Yeah, I remember watching that.
Yeah, and saying, like, listen, honestly, I was going to come out saying 0 out of 4, but Mr. Mistopheles bumped that up to a 2 because I really liked him. And then he didn't do any of the pyrotechnics that were in the show, and he fucking danced around with playing cards.
Oh, it sucked so hard.
Like, and when he shot across the stage and all those cards looked like they were coming out of his ass.
Yeah.
Guys, it was... I'm going to call it now. I bet you they tapped Tom Hooper to do the adaptation of Come From Away.
Oh.
Let me see what's on his IMDb. Yes. Let me see what's on his IMDb.
And it's going to be so much footage of 9/11. Like, because like the musical and goes out of their way to like really lightly reference like you know it's 9/11, but they like don't show you the planes.
Yeah.
Because I mean, they have some amount of like, yo, you're here to a musical. You kind of want to have a good time. We're going to, yeah, there's some sad shit in here. But like ultimately, it's a woman singing about a plane.
I have a question.
Yes.
I've not seen Come From Away.
Yeah.
Does it open with, in black, you hear the sound of 9/11 news footage?
No. Okay. So it opens with like people being like, that morning. And they're all telling like, I'm on my way to work. I'm on my way. And then they
I'm
all say,
Tim Hortons,
and I
literally.
Turn on the radio. And then it's like the lighting changes and like you are here at the start of a moment.
Jesus.
It's Alex, it starts like this. Welcome to the rock. It's a rock. We're a rock on a rock.
Have you seen our friends?
Yeah,
do
yeah,
sketch?
Yeah.
Oh, so good. Kevin Vidal is in Come From Away, our friend. Yeah. And he did a sketch once where it was just, he gets pressured into doing his part from the opening
I have not seen that
sketch.
Oh,
it's so funny. So he's like, Christian pressures him to do his part from the opening, and it's just him moving a chair a bunch and then yelling, huh.
That's very
And then eventually,
funny.
Welcome to the Rock, but it's mostly just
That's very, very
Which
good.
Is like truly what he does in the opening. And he has a great part in that.
He has a great part.
But
So Tom Hooper has directed a lot of MasterCard commercials. No, let me look. Capital One commercials. But he has zero things on the horizon, according to his IMDb.
But you know, that's like a oh, who's the guy who does the explosions movies? Michael Bay. Yeah. Was like those milk commercials.
Yeah.
Oh, was he? He also directed a lot of EastEnders.
You ever done a commercial with a director that you know thinks that he's going to be a fucking movie director in the next couple of years?
The McDonald's commercial I did.
I did a Budweiser commercial that was like that.
I won't name names on this, but a director made me do something where I was eating in a one take, which meant that I couldn't do a spit bucket. And then there was coffee involved in this. And then, like, after, like, 2 hours of shooting, I was like, hey, just because, you know, obviously, this is decaf coffee, right?
Oh, no.
And they were like, no. And I was like, you've been making, I've probably had 40 cups of coffee.
No. That was like when we did a one take with our McDonald's commercial, but I had to eat a salad and Carson had to eat a Big Mac. And by the end of the day, he had eaten maybe 11 Big Macs and he thought he was going to die. It was very funny.
There was a Taco Bell very spot small with man. Me and Matt Foley where they didn't make us do the bite and smile on the audition. And neither they had to cut away from us biting because like it's clear that both of us are going to, neither of us can eat it.
What was it?
Taco Bell.
Oh, that's
it was like funny. Because it was like Taco Bell had like some fucked up flavors. I can't even remember what they were, but it would be like Cool Ranch steak.
Did you call it Cool Ranch Mistake?
Cool Ranch Mistake.
Love the Cool Ranch Mistake. Fuck. I mean.
Oops, Extreme Nacho.
And that's what Cats is a Cool Ranch.
Listen, James fucked up.
I think we haven't talked about the most important, terrifying part, which is Judi Dench.
Oh my God. With the second she turned to the camera,
she stares down at the barrel of the camera for, I'm not kidding, 7 minutes.
And she
not
really
several.
Wants you to know that cats
are not dogs. And she itemizes it. And it goes on for so long. And then there's a panaway shot to Jennifer Hudson still floating in the air
and
on
then
a magical.
And then she dissolves. I'm like, well, that's got to be the end of the movie. And then it goes back to Judi Dench to tell you that cats still are not dogs.
Okay, here's the thing about Judi Dench's two camera soliloquy. You know, at the end of a Shakespeare play where like someone has a soliloquy and they're like, this is what we saw. Like, is it Rosalind at the end of As We Like It? It was like, this is what this was and this is what this meant.
Yeah, Midsummer Night's Dream does it. Like,
so it's like she's supposed to be telling you, like, this is what this all meant, except she doesn't say anything and it's nonsense, which in a way is exactly what you just saw.
Exactly. Yeah. That's actually, you
but
know
it
what?
It would have been amazing if she had, like, tied it all together. Like, hey, you think you just saw a bunch of bullshit, but, like, didn't we all learn that all these cats knew how to be themselves and maybe you should... learn how to be yourself.
Also, Ned Petrie's thing was just that it's a feline death cult. And that's all it is.
Yeah.
It's just a feline death cult. They all want to die. One person chooses it. I don't know why Judi Dench wouldn't just choose McCavity. He's ruining everyone's life on Earth.
Yeah, I also was like, so McCavity, why would he want a new life? Like, he's got all the power.
McCavity.
I went and I lined up for Good Pasta today with Chris and Maul, the two people who were blah blah. A thing that they were saying of watching this movie was that what they found funny and interesting was they knew the ins and outs of Cats, and Cats on the surface is bullshit that should be laughed at. That movie had a new dimension to it.
Yeah.
And then they were like, it's very funny to be like watching you laugh at something that like is objectively stupid, of like they have bare feet and like they're like the CGI is fucked up and this cat slides across the floor.
Wild.
And then also laughing at Scribbleshanks the railway cat and be like, no, that one is normal. The feet is stupid. Scribbleshanks, like that's not a laughable one.
Cats is the first play I ever got taken to that wasn't like a children's play, because like so seldom.
But
it is still a children's play.
Well, like, it was like the first like real play I ever got taken to when I was a kid, because I live in Edmonton and we didn't have a ton of money. So it was like, so my mom took me to see Cats, and it is the first time I was ever embarrassed for adults. Like the first time I was ever like, I don't know. My mom was like, I know you want to be an actor when you grow up. Let's go see a play. And I was like, fuck, I can do that. I can fucking run around and be like, meow, 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 meow.
And Cats is notorious for ruining theater actors. Like, there's the big story of Cats of They came to Toronto and they hired a bunch of like 16-year-olds who were like non-union, made them all union, and then like fucked their careers from here on out because they couldn't do anything that after. It's like this big tragic story that I learned about in theater school where like my teacher would just be like, "And we all know the cat story."
Did you guys watch, it's maybe one of the one good bits on the last season of Kimmy Schmidt, where I can't remember the character's name, but
Titus.
Yeah. Titus figures out that to be in the cast of Cats, yes, you just have to walk on stage and just start yelling about, yes, who you are.
Yes, and he just dresses in garbage bags.
Yeah. And I was like, that is the most salient explanation of what the fuck I just watched.
Oh, my favorite laugh. So, what was also fun about watching this in a theater full of people who were not there to meet that movie on its level, was where people would laugh at it. My favorite laugh in that was when Cats would ask each other, "Wait, who are you?" People would start laughing, being like, "Oh, we're about to get a song about, yeah, who this cat is."
I'll just never forget watching it in the musical and being like, "Well, surely the second act, the plot will start." Because the first act you're watching, okay, that cat introduced himself. Now that cat did. Okay, we're about 10 cats deep. We know a lot of cats. Like, what's
the deal?
But that's
what it's based on. It's based off a list of cats. We all just got tricked into watching a listicle.
Yeah, literally. When I came back from intermission and there was more introductions, I can't. And in this movie, they weren't as bad. But Mungo Jerry and the other one, Razzmatazz or whatever its fucking name was, that one, I had such an anger inside of me.
But it's so funny because Maul today was like, "What did they do to that song? That song's bangs.
It's terrible." She's
Mungo
wrong.
Jerry is like,
she is
Rumpelteazer.
It sounds like it's a racist name.
Yes. Oh, any cat's name could be a slur, but and I'm not aware of it. Like,
is
any,
it?
Like if I heard it divorced of cat,
if you told me that Deuteronomy was like a super, super racist thing.
Oh, yeah. Your uncle's like walking by like the Somali dish, like, "Look at these rum tum tuggers." I'd be like,
shit.
But here's the thing. Okay. Mungo Jerry is the name of a singer named that sings in the summertime. In the summertime,
oh, is it?
When the weather is fine. Anyways, it doesn't really matter. What matters is I fucking hated it, and I can't believe that I sat and watched a movie about it.
I mean, who were the four? Like, you said that people walked out in the first 10 minutes?
So, four people walked out.
So, like,
I didn't notice that.
There was the two right in front of us were the first to walk out.
Oh.
Like, halfway through song one, the two of them went up, put their coats on, fucking out. Halfway through song one. Then song two, two people I saw get up, go.
Do you think that's because we were laughing? Or do you...
I know. I wondered if it was us or cats.
Because we were laughing so hard, so immediately.
I was like,
I really thought in my head, like, you can't stop us from laughing. Like,
yes.
It's not our fault.
Yes.
And also, if you were so reverent of this, you'd be so upset.
Yeah.
Like, if that was Tom Hooper... Mr. Hooper, I'm so sorry that we laughed
so
hard.
No, I hate Mr. Hooper. He's my enemy, and I'll sing it from the rooftops.
I want everyone to, because I watched King's Speech alone and came out fuming, and no one else saw it, and I was just mad at this movie, and everyone thought I was being overreacting, and now no one's seen it, and then I got and like and
no,
the
I
ne-
saw
the next thing
it's just
the,
boring.
It's so bad. It's a weird movie that like got my ire up. And then Les Mis was I was like, okay, at the end of the day, like in Les Mis, like there's some songs they did that bang. The source material is really strong. He fucked up the movie a bit, but like, the source
you know
is
what? His One Day More wasn't bad. It was
one
actually
more,
was pretty well
one,
done.
One Day More bangs.
And Do We Hear the People Sing did well.
It was fine.
My issue is that they didn't hire a single singer. Like, why wouldn't they just switch Aaron Tveit and Eddie Redmayne? Why you have a beautiful singer.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have him sing Red and Black, the worst song.
Like, the fact that, like, this is my big problem with musicals in general is casting. Like, they're like, "Ooh, she's a pretty girl, but she can't sing." And I'm like,
no,
but Emma Stone, no tea, no shade, but Emma Stone, I was like, in La La Land, I was like, you are not a singer and this is hard.
But no, that's another thing about Emma Stone in La La Land. She is a singer. She was in Out of Her Range. It was so stupid. They wrote the songs for her. And it was too high because I've heard her sing. She sang that song like... I got a ticket. She's just like a hard alto, and they forced her to sing falsetto the entire time.
It's hearing people sing poorly in a musical is like inexcusable.
Well, Tom Hooper is literally to blame. He wanted Taylor Swift to be the On My Own character. on my own, pretending he's beside me. That character, who is
Eponine?
That? Eponine. He wanted her to be Eponine, and then
that's a weird cast.
Didn't cast her because he thought she was too beautiful for anyone to cast aside.
That makes me even more upset.
The girl they hired was stunning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she could sing.
She did a good. She did.
But also,
she did
Taylor
a job
Swift
of that song.
Singing on my own, she's I would hate.
In
everything.
The Broadway cast, she was that in the West sense. End cast.
I would be so upset watching Taylor Swift sing on my own.
Oh, yeah. She would have brutalized it because it would have been
like,
live.
She would have like fluttered. Okay, so you want to talk? So you know, now there's some musical shit. So Fun Home is one of my favorite musicals. It's not really a musical. It's more of a sad story of a man not coming to terms with himself. And this like kind of meta play that exists around it. And I saw it in New York and it's like, it was great.
Yeah,
and
like
the music is nothing. Like there's,
it's forgettable.
But that's the point. Like it's not about the music. It's about this like other thing. And then, so it came to Toronto. There was a Toronto version of it. And it was right when I was staying in Mall. And like, she loves, not loves, but like it has a big history of musicals. And I was like, oh, I love this thing. She could get, like, through her work at the time, could get free tickets to it. It's like, let's go. This is going to be great. We go, have through the first song. I'm like, oh, my God, they fucked it up so hard. They fucked it up so, so hard. Because, like, the point of it, it's very sad. Like, it's about the – because I'm a big fan of this cartoonist, Bechdel.
It's right there, the book. You can probably see it Fun Home.
Yeah. She's the creator of the Bechdel test. I think she's one of the most important cartoonists of American literature in the past 50 years, without question. And it's the autobiographical story of her coming to terms with her own queerness and her father not coming to terms with his and killing himself. And it's
spoiler.
Brutal.
No, it starts in the first five minutes.
It's brutal. And like the comic's very brutal and made me cry. And then watching the musical made me cry. And then watching the Toronto musical made me grip a seat knowing Maul had not seen it. And I want to be like, let's go. But like, she's not seeing it. I was like, I want her to experience it on her own terms. I'm going to like ruin it. At the front, and then she's trying not to giggle, being like, "This is Alex's favorite musical," because like they're singing with like vibrato.
Have you seen anything of them doing Jagged Little Pill?
Oh no. My god, whoa. I did. I saw when Steph Malik put it on.
It is truly people like Broadwaying the shit out of Jagged Little Pill, and I can only assume it's like
smiles between characters.
I think it would start like, well, you know what, Alex? There's something. I want you to know.
Yeah, literally.
Like, it's so...
The one that's like...
That you live... Like, them all singing that as a group, I was like, everyone needs to kill themselves.
When they say, I recommend getting naked in your own living room or whatever, and then the, like, squarish 40-year-old couple, like, look at each other kind of like, we do that, and then someone else rolls their eyes, I was like... Who are these characters? What is going on? What is the story that it's trying to tell?
Okay, here's a real question. What do you think the next musical Tom Hooper adapts is for film?
Come From Away is a good pick.
Yeah, Come From Away is
pretty
solid.
I think we are staring down the barrel of that, and I'm hoping someone does it. I think it could be good.
I wouldn't be surprised if
I think it could
home...
be fine.
No,
not him and Come From Away. I think a Come From Away adaptation
might be able
to do it all right.
I'll tell you why Come From Away was good for me, because as a musical, I was actually okay about it. It's the choreography and the actual ensemble work within the musical, and that's going to get lost in the movie.
He's going to do a Hamilton.
No way. Lin-Manuel will get whoever directed Hamilton. The guy who directed Hamilton.
I think Hamilton is in the same place as Wicked, where Wicked, the people have been trying to adapt it for so long.
Last year, I was talking to
the people who had the rights to Wicked, and they were like talking to me about the rights of something that I wrote. And in this conversation, it kind of got floated out to me. They're like, we're also just always looking for people to adapt Wicked. And I was like, if I give you the script, will you let me adapt it?
But you know what, though?
They're doing In the Heights, and The Heights comes out next summer.
No, but Lin-Manuel said, so it's not financially sensical for them to adapt it into a movie yet. That's why these things take years and years to be adapted, because they're still making money. Like, New York in the fall, and I figured, like, oh, Hamilton must be reasonable at this point. It's still $500 tickets.
It's still crazy.
So they're still making, I think, literally, like, a few million dollars, like, a month off of it. So until that starts to die down, and until they start selling the rights so like high schools can perform it, that's when they'll make the movie. So he said it's going to be about 10 years, and In the Heights took about 10 years. They waited for that to completely die down.
Oh my god, Tom Hooper will do Avenue Q. a musical that has aged brutally.
Can you imagine?
I mean, that if they make an Avenue Q musical, like, I'm gonna go see it, but it's gonna be
I saw Avenue Q when I went and auditioned for Juilliard.
Oh my god, I auditioned for Juilliard too.
Yeah, well, you were auditioning for Juilliard, and so like it was like literally right after my audition. And what I remember most is they had those posters that said, "Don't forget we won the Tony."
Yeah.
Just because they love dunking on Wicked so hard.
Did it win over Wicked?
Beat Wicked.
That's insane. I've seen both. And I saw the shittier Wicked. Like, I saw the Toronto Wicked and I saw the New York Avenue Q. And that's crazy that it beat Wicked.
Yeah.
Wicked is incredible.
Wicked has, I don't know, parts of Wicked I really like. And then parts of it, I'm like, honestly, I think Elphaba should have been dead.
Yeah, but that's impossible. She's
I know, but like
it's her origin story. She can't just die.
Well, no, at the end, when like when the water gets thrown on her, like I think like, it would have been a better musical. She'd actually died if Glinda had like magicked that water. Because when that whole musical, when that end song, when they're like, "Hey, you changed my life," I'm like, this doesn't track quite well for me.
But I think Wizard of Oz comes after.
No, Wizard of Oz is like that. The last couple scenes are the Wizard of Oz. Which the water gets thrown on her.
So I thought
it would have been better if Glinda had actually killed her, and then the reveal of the whole musical should have been that Glinda was the bad guy all along, and that
Glinda is the bad guy.
She is and she isn't, though, right? She lets her off the hook. Like, so she's like,
what a great musical.
Chaotic neutral.
I was going to say, actually, sorry, let's bring it back to Fun Home. I think Fun Home also would be hurt on a stage in Toronto. It was perfect in the Circle and the Square.
Yeah.
Because it's a black box theater that's in the Round.
Yes.
And it's very casual.
And Toronto is in the Sony, or what's the one on Yonge by Girard?
That is
Sony. Sony, yeah.
That it actually is the better theater to put it in.
If something's in the round, having it be out of the round is always bad.
So here's the thing: is like, so in the Circle and Square, it's, you know, like Bechdel's like writing at her desk.
Yeah,
the whole time.
But it's like at the corner.
At the corner, and then she gets up later on in the musical.
Mm-hmm.
In the Toronto one, she's running around the stage, which ruins that get up.
Yeah.
And then also, every performance is wrong. So, like, you know, the mom has the whole, like, song where she's, like, full crying of, like, I don't talk about that my husband's clearly gay.
Yeah.
In the Toronto one, she's belting it. She's got a Broadway belt through that song.
That's crazy.
And I wanted to slap the front, like, being like, what is happening?
But there's nothing like knowing how something is supposed to sound and then having them do it differently.
You guys want to know a fun, like, wrong venue story? When we were touring Spank,
Guys,
I was in a pit touring musical parody of 50 Shades of Grey. No big.
My dream.
It is actually the most fun I've ever had doing anything. But when we were in Detroit, we were in the old Second City, which is a very, very shallow stage with barely any wings. It was like the wrong venue for our show. And so there was one point in the show where Amanda Barker is standing behind me and I'm supposed to turn and say something to her, but the stage was so shallow that I turned to say something and it was just my full face was in her vagina and I laughed. So I was like, whatever. I just delivered my line into her vagina.
Yeah.
The next night when it happened, our sound engineer kicked the reverb. So when I delivered my line into her vagina, it echoed. And I was like, I'm done. Like, I'm fully fucking done. Like, I couldn't get my shit together.
Funny.
And so then, like, the rest of the week just became me, like, yelling Ricola into her pussy.
Gone.
Which was like, I was like, this is like the funniest thing that's ever happened to me in my whole life.
I don't know what I'd do if I'm in, like, especially when you're in like a show that you know all the lines to and like you've been doing it for a while.
We've been doing it so long that we were actively trying to fuck with each other.
Because then when something like that happens, you're like, it's so funny.
Well, the audience was 100% on board with it because they could tell that it was a genuine thing that I had been caught off guard.
Yeah.
The one that the audience never got, like, why was I fucked up about is every show I'd open my laptop to like type something in this fake scene. And they would always put a message for me and they'd always try really hard to like write a joke or like write something shocking
that's
and
funny.
It would never get me. But then one time I just opened it and it just said lupus and I lost my shit.
Lupus. This is good.
Yeah, man, that's like, I was like, you got me. Lupus was what did it.
Well, I think on that note.
Yeah, I'm so exhausted.
I think we've really gotten the racket.
It's been about 24 hours since we walked out of Cats, and I realized I'm so exhausted about thinking about Cats.
Yeah. I mean, the main girl they were trying to make happen, she's a ballet dancer in real life. Her voice is, I'd say, thin at best.
Yeah.
oh, she's going to be in some fucking period thing.
She's just so annoying, and I don't even know what she looks like.
Yeah, that's the weird thing of like, if you're breakout role, no one sees what you look like.
There's not a single person who isn't famous in that movie that I'd be able to recognize on the street. And we stared at their faces for so long.
Yeah.
Why are their ears so small? They would have been cute if they had made the cat ears big.
A little bigger.
Or just like change the eye.
Yeah, like, made them kind of like an Alita where they made Rosa Salazar's eyes big.
Like, why didn't they have a uniform way of how the cats look facially? Like the lead girl, you could see the bump of her ears.
You know what's fucked up? Like, is that their noses ears were so human. I think if their noses had been like a little bit cattier.
Yeah.
It's a full fucking human nose made them uncomfortable.
I think it would have been better either full animated or full costume. This middle ground wishy-washing.
It should have been
gonna...
a full.
They didn't make a full decision makeup of like what the cat's faces should look like, and so they always looked kind of weird. And I'm like, you should have made them fucking cute as hell. So at least people would be like, that's adorable.
Yes. Or I think they thought they were making them sensual.
If you had made like a chibi as hell Sir Ian McKellen, I would have been like, yeah, all right, I came for this.
Yeah.
But instead you just gave me a hairier Sir Ian McKellen. Because, and I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, actually, Ian McKellen looked exactly the same.
Yeah.
When I think of him, I think that he looks like a chimney sweep, not a cat. Like, oh, fuck.
Let's just go around and let's just say the one thing.
Final.
The one thing that just stuck with you from, it's going to haunt you from Cats.
Okay. Someone else start, I have to think.
For me, it's, even though every cat was naked, Idris Elba was somehow the most naked. Like, I went, when he took off his trench coat.
Okay.
And because it was a velour man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was velour.
It was sculpted.
It was
and like
so broad and human-like, but
that was the horniest part of the movie for me, because I was like,
no, I will say the thing that stuck out to me, which is the horniest moment, and it is Jason Derulo really... really making you think he was going to suck that toe.
Yeah.
Like, because it was so, like, prominent and in his, like, the shot is just him in the toe. And you're like, are we going to watch him, like, face fuck this foot?
Yeah.
My most disturbing part that I really will remember is when Rebel Wilson unzipped her catsuit and to reveal more clothing underneath.
And the
which
worst part is that they did it to us twice.
Yes.
That was... the worst part is it, what got her out of a sticky situation was she unzipped her thing again. So are we to believe this world is positing that the cat of Rebel Wilson exists with a vest and gems or like
full
rhinestones
jumpsuit
underneath her cat clothes? It's not that she unzipped her suit to reveal a cat body. She unzipped her cat body to reveal a suit.
Yes.
Which is the most Looney Tunes logic of all time.
And that the fact that it didn't just live in that scene, that it was a key plot point that got them off, I imagine,
yeah,
the ship,
that it was a
the
plot
river
point
of Styx. Where were they? In the middle of
the
Thames? Yeah, in the middle of Thames. Oh, James Corden and Rebel Wilson's improvising. Sorry.
Honestly,
I hate when people say improvising. It makes me want
to
punch
a wall. It made me ashamed to do improv.
Her unzipping that, which is like, I think like minute seven.
It's the first act.
Yeah, it's
the first song.
It's within the first. It's the second song because the Jellicle Cat's the first thing.
Oh God!
And then so when she unzips, I think that's when the theater fully turned.
Yeah,
because we started with knives. We started Knives Out.
Yeah.
And then the
we
rest
were all a little bit charmed by how stupid Jellicle Cats was.
Yes. We were all a little like, okay. Okay, this is dumb. And then there were some people at the front of the theater who were like, I was like, yeah, okay. And then when she unzipped that and you heard the whole
theater. It became a horror movie.
The whole theater at once said, what?
Yeah, and the lineup of beetles, which were fucking disgusting.
Oh.
And then she ate a beetle.
Fuck ate me. Multiple beetles through that song.
It was, that's when it took a turn of like, this movie must be The Emperor Has No Clothes. It must have been like, is this good? And a bunch of people were like, yeah, it's good. It's good.
This is like working in Canadian television.
Yeah.
Tom Hooper is a Canadian director who has hit the big time and has not learned from anything.
Tom Hooper would direct such a good episode of Murdoch Mystery. You don't.
Oh,
oh my God. If he gives us a Murdoch Mystery musical,
yeah,
he would kill
it's
a
like
CTV
the Murdoch Mystery where like
TV movie.
He invents like like Ableton Live. Like he invents like a synth plugin in Murdoch.
That's how I knew that the movie was going to be boring too, is they didn't try to update the synth sound.
What's wild is that. So like there's one part where Chris, my friend, he plays trumpet, and there's one part, one of the songs where they kept the trumpet solo in it, but changed it from in the musical a trumpet to a synth trumpet. And he's like, why would you do this? Like an 80s style synth trumpet.
And the 80s, it's such a...
Because it's got like a little like trumpet thing in it.
It's like they like Andrew Lloyd Webber should be ashamed that he used that instrument so heavily in his musical. And then they made it so prominent in the movie.
Here's my big question. They were in London and we saw that there were humans.
In the 20s, based on the footwear?
Where the fuck were people?
Well, this is the nighttime, right? And then the sun rises.
So you're telling me no people are in like that giant ass square or on the Thames?
I like the idea that
the cats might have been 3 centimeters tall. We don't know.
It's during the time of Jack the Ripper.
Oh.
And that there's like a quarantine in London Square and that the cats are just running around.
And also at the beginning of the movie, the white cat gets thrown out in a bag in the middle of the street. First of all, why not just throw, like, why put the trouble putting the cat in a bag and then throwing
it? But nobody had any sympathy for the cat in the bag. Like, that's how much we all hated this movie immediately. That we're all kind of on the side of the woman who's like, get this cat the fuck out of my life.
That woman is the audience. And we.
Woman.
We start the movie at the end of a last audience full rejecting
the movie. It's a forever loop.
Yeah. And then then you see someone that looks like the next one sees someone look just like you, Vite, throwing a cat in the bag into a junkyard.
I know when it started, Rebecca says, why didn't she just drown it?
But like, if you're just gonna throw the cat away into the street, then like, there's no point in putting it in a bag. You could have just thrown the cat.
There's no point to any of it.
Rebecca told me a few jokes any time, because you didn't know Sarah McKellen or Judi Dench was in it. And when they first hit the screen, you went, "Oh no, if this is their last movie."
That's what I kept saying. I was saying, if this is the movie, and then they die, they'll always have to say Judi Dench's last movie was Cats, or Ian McKellen's. Like, imagine.
I feel like there are a lot of people whose last movie was truly, truly depressing.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people's last movie was like, just the worst thing you can
think
of.
Oh, God. Judi Dench, Ian McKellen, he hasn't even won an Oscar. Let the man win an Oscar before he fucking...
He wins a posthumous Oscar for Cats.
Yeah. John, who I work with, directed Harry Dean Stanton's last movie, and the whole thing was that Harry Dean Stanton knew going in it was going to be his last movie.
He's dead?
Yeah, Harry Dean Stanton died. He knew it was going to be his last movie, so the movie was about his own death, like a real...
What was the movie?
It's called Lucky, and it's just about like accepting the fact that you get to a certain point and like... Even if you don't get cancer, you're just at an age where you just fucking die eventually. And Harry Dean Stanton knew going in it was going to be his final movie. And so, like, it makes it a very interesting performance because it's, like, not really that much acting. It's, like, a kind of a real man reflecting on the end of his own life.
And that is Cats.
Yeah.
It's all of our last movie.
Yeah, it's all of us staring. There were so many movies I wanted to see too, but
couldn't. Oh my God.
I'm like, no, I have to see Cats.
I couldn't believe that like I saw Cats before Little Women.
I know.
I couldn't believe I saw Cats before Uncut Gems, a movie like pitched directly at me.
Little Women's pitched to me.
Yeah.
Timothy Chalamet. He hasn't been in a movie that has a romantic lead in it since Call Me by Your Name. I had to sit through The King like an animal. It was so boring. Alice, anyway,
thank you for having our pod.
It was by the way, we made a cocktail if anyone wants to follow along and have the drinking game of how many times we talk about Rebel Wilson zipping off her cat suit. It is a mixture of, what kind of whiskey is
it's
this?
Writer's Tears, and it's delicious.
Writer's Tears, it's delicious.
Alice, get on it, it's good.
Mixed with coffee flavored LaCroix. And you think that sounds gross? I'm enjoying myself.
It's a very lightly smoky time.
It made it smokier. So we call this, Alice has coined this cocktail Cats.
Yeah, I mean, that's really a disservice. It makes it sound like the cocktail
is
terrible.
We finally did it. My name is Alessandra, your name is Alex, and your name is Alice.
Yeah.
It's AAA, baby.
Three basically the same name.
We are different versions of the same name. But okay. I love you all.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.